You're listening to episode 82 of the Body You Crave podcast, the one where we talk about the most important tool you need to be successful at any goal.
I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So this week, I want to talk about evaluating. And I know it's not really a sexy topic in the world of assessing and evaluating. We can skip over this part. It can be really fun to set goals and to think big and to fantasize about the future. But one of the most important things that we can do in order to be successful is to evaluate. And this is often one of the biggest areas where my clients struggle. And this is really where I struggled for such a long time because I brought so much shame and judgment when I was evaluating. I really didn't know how to do it without beating myself up. And so I wouldn't assess. I wouldn't evaluate. I would just think, I just need to try harder. I just need to cut more carbs or run more miles. I just need to be better. Let me willpower harder. Today, I can do it. Today, I'm going to be perfect. Today, I'm going to do this. And a lot of times, because of a binge or an overeat, then the next day I was often restricting, which just led right back to the binging. But I never really assessed. I just tried harder to be good. Just try harder to stay on track. And that never worked. It never got me the results that I wanted. It just kept me stuck in this cycle and this loop. So while it's the very unsexy side of weight loss, evaluating and assessing is such a powerful and necessary tool to achieve and accomplish any goal, but especially when it comes to things like emotional eating, emotional drinking, weight loss. I want to talk you through it because I help clients assess and evaluate. This is one of the key things that I do, but I want to offer a little snippet of some of the work that we do. And so the first key is always to just keep reminding yourself of no shame, no judgment. I'm just going to be looking for the facts, looking at data. And the other piece here too is don't be afraid to get it wrong. Don't feel like you have to have all the right answers. It's okay to brainstorm and take a guess. And it's okay to write things down and you're like, well, I'm pretty sure this isn't it, but this is what my brain thought of. Or this is where my brain went, but I don't think that's true or that doesn't seem realistic. And sometimes when we write things out or we say them out loud, we realize, oh, that seems silly, but here's what my brain is telling me. This is setting the stage, getting off the shame train. And we want to look at it from the place of being a detective. A detective is not emotionally involved with the case, or at least they're not supposed to be. They just want to gather facts and evidence and see things from all different angles. And then from there, they can figure out, okay, what happened? What went on? How can we solve this? So I want you to take this same approach. Number one, we need to start with what are the facts? What did you eat? What did you drink? What did you do or not do? Because you can apply this to work. You can apply this to relationships. You can apply this to time management. It doesn't really matter. For this case in particular, we'll talk about food and alcohol because those tend to be the bigger things that come up. So we just want to get really clear. What did you eat or drink and how much? Again, no shame, no judgment. So that's step number one. And then step number two is, what is the problem? Was it that you overate? Were you emotionally eating? Did you overdrink? Did you eat off plan? Did you not plan to have dessert and then you ate it because everybody else was? That's what we want to start to get into. What is the problem here? Because just the facts of eating food and eating a certain amount of food isn't a problem until we give it meaning, until we think things like, that was too much. I shouldn't have eaten that. I shouldn't have drank that. And that's where we really want to get clear on why is this a problem. And for me, I remember back when I was really working on this and in the throes of my emotional eating every day, it was a problem for me to be overeating and emotionally eating every single day. That to me felt like a problem. This is not normal. It is a problem that I am consistently, nearly every single day, overeating at lunch, snacking all through the evening, even though I'm not really hungry, I'm still reaching for food and eating and I can't figure out why or how to stop. So to me, that felt like a problem. That's okay. That's what we want to start to get at. Was it that you ate too much? Did you eat off plan? Did you not plan appropriately? Did you not have the right kinds of foods? Were you snacking because you were bored? That's what we want to start to get into. What is the issue? From there, if the problem is I'm overeating at lunch and I can't figure out why I'm not stopping at satisfied, that's going to be one problem. And we want to look at what are my thoughts, what are my excuses and justifications to keep eating beyond the point of being satisfied? What emotion am I feeling? Or what emotion am I trying to avoid? That's what we want to start to gauge. We want to break it down into what's the one problem, the one issue, what am I thinking and feeling in this moment? Same thing if I'm reaching for food, but I'm not hungry. That would be a different one. So in those moments, and it could be that one kind of leads into the other, but I still want to break this down and look at, okay, if I'm reaching for a protein bar now and I'm not hungry, what am I thinking? What emotion am I feeling? And you can also look at the physical sensations of I didn't feel satisfied. I felt like I still needed food, even though I felt full. But we really want to start to understand, what am I telling myself? What am I feeling? What am I trying to avoid feeling? Those are the basics. From there, we can go into now from a point of, okay, what did I learn? What am I learning from this? And based on your thoughts and those emotions and what's really going on, the more that you can flesh out those two questions around your thoughts and your emotions, the more clear, the more details, the more explanation you can give, the more curiosity you can bring, the more you can start to see how you are learning from that situation and what you will do differently next time. That's it. These are the key questions that we want to be asking ourselves. We don't need this big process. It doesn't have to take us very long. You can spend time going into more details, but it can be very quick and easy. And that's what I want to share, is that a lot of times we put it off because we think it's not that important. But really, we want to be clear on where are areas of opportunity. How can I get better? Because you can take this same approach and you can look at the week or the month and really evaluating. Maybe the result was you lost 4 pounds and your goal was to lose 10. So now you can look at, okay, how was I showing up? What was I thinking and feeling throughout the week? What was I doing or not doing? What did I learn from this? What will I do differently next month? You can really start to gauge and recognize these things. And sometimes it maybe I had an unrealistic expectation. Maybe my goal wasn't accurate. Maybe I wasn't planning on getting sick or having a sick child or things like that, right? It's, oh, I didn't account for this. So it's really just being aware of what's happening. And we want to slow things down. We want to break it down into its simplest parts and really look for, what am I learning? What will I do differently? Because that's really the key. Anytime we set a goal, we're going to be implementing that plan and working towards that goal. We are going to fail and we are going to succeed. We are going to win and we are going to lose. So we want to look at both. So often our brain wants to go to the negative and what's not working and how we're failing. And then we want to turn it inward and talk about how we're not good enough. And then we just feel like crap, when really we just want to start to evaluate and look at, what can I learn from this? If I didn't hit my goal, if I didn't show up the way that I wanted to, what's getting in my way? What can I learn? What will I take and do differently? And this was really interesting, actually. This is something I've been talking about with clients a lot this week. And it also came up in our sermon at church on Sunday, actually. We were in the book of Job in chapter 32. And one of the key points the pastor had brought up was how negative circumstances in our life, the pain that we experience in life, is never punishment. It's never God forgetting about you. It's never God punishing you. It is there to teach us. It is there for us to learn from, not because we have been bad somehow, but just because that is one way that we learn. That's one way that God will get our attention. I love the quote by Paul David Tripp, who says, "Sometimes God takes you where you don't want to go in order to create in you what couldn't have been done any other way." And so I think about the pain and the struggle and the challenge that I faced in addressing my emotional eating and really feeling more comfortable and confident in my body. And I also realized, like, oh yeah, no, there was some pain and struggle and heartache, but I had to go through that in order to understand and like show up in such a more powerful way for my clients, to really see that it's not just a matter of eat this, not that. When I really looked at it, oh, my pain and my struggle, it is trying to teach me something. And it's helping me now with identifying and seeing the gaps and the holes of the diet industry and where I can come in and fill that. Where I can spread this message that emotional eating is a habit that you learn, which means that it's a habit you can unlearn. It's not an eating disorder. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just a habit. And so it's like, the more that I can step out in that, the better. But I feel like this is the quote of my life. I feel like that should be a verse in the Bible. It is my life verse. It's that sometimes God will take you places because he knows that there is no other way in which you will move. And we can feel like we are being punished. We can feel like things are being taken away from us. We can feel like God is not listening. We can be crying out, why, God, why? I had that moment in Bangladesh when I was mid-20s, and I was like, this is my best option. This is pitiful. This is hopeless. How can this be my life right now? There was so much shame. And yet, it was such a pivotal domino for me in my life. So much changed from that moment. So many experiences, people that I met, getting into entrepreneurship, which set me on this path to become a life coach. That was such an instrumental piece of my life that I could not see in the moment. I could only see it looking back. You can have that same kind of conviction and powerful story about your weight loss journey, about healing your relationship with food or with alcohol or relationships with other people. We really want to look at it from this lens of, what did I learn from this? What will I do differently next time? And that's when we create a new plan and we start to tweak a little bit at a time, just a little bit. What will I do differently tomorrow? And the more that you do this, the more that you know, and especially as you get into maintenance and then these little things happen, it's like my brain doesn't have to freak out that, oh no, the scale is going up. It's, oh no, I know typically what's going on. Either there's some emotional eating and snacking going on, or I just need to get back into planning. And usually it's those two in conjunction. Usually there's emotional eating that can get solved with the planning. This can be done on a daily basis. It can be done weekly. It can be done monthly. But this is really helpful as you are working through creating a healthy relationship with food or with alcohol, with any kind of drinks, beverages. This is what we want to do, is really look at things from a 30-foot view and just get really clear. And a lot of times when I walk clients through this, they'll look at it and they're like, oh, that actually isn't that bad. And then they can see points when they look back. They're like, oh, I probably could have stopped eating here. Oh, I probably could have stopped after drink number two. So we're going to look back and be like, okay, now, why didn't I stop eating? Why did I order dessert? Why did I want to have that next bite? And we can get really laser focused on, what do I think was driving this? What was I looking for? What was I hoping the food or the alcohol would do for me? That is the value of a coach. That is the value of doing this. That is how you solve this problem, because it's not just about taking the food away or taking the alcohol away. That is never going to solve your problem. I know tons of people who can restrict, and they can restrict for a month, 2 months, 3 months at a time, and then they go right back to binging and eating their face off. They go right back to binge drinking. It's this all or nothing thing, and they can be so good and be so on plan, and then they can't control themselves. And sometimes it's an immediate binge, and sometimes it's this slow, gradual work. And that's usually how it works, is like you can lose the weight and then you slowly put it on a few months later. It takes you 3 months to lose it, and then you regain it over the next 9. That's what we really want to address, is how do we start to change how we think and how we talk to ourselves, how we show up? We have to change the conversation that's going on in our head about ourselves, about the food, about the alcohol, about our lives. This is why I am not just a weight loss coach. This is why I do so much life coaching too, because we don't eat in a vacuum. But this is one of the key pieces that I think is really missing in the diet industry, is a focus on mindset work, focus on how you're feeling, how you're talking to yourself, and really evaluating and truly looking at it from a neutral standpoint, no shame or judgment, and really looking at, how can I get better? What does 1% better look like today? That's what we want to be going for. This is such a powerful tool. It's often overlooked, but this can be your secret weapon. And if you would like some help with this, if you want some help creating a process that's going to help you to lose weight and keep it off for life in a way that works with your lifestyle, if you want some help learning how to assess and how to evaluate without shame or judgment, or if you really want to get a handle and get a grip on your emotional eating or emotional drinking, then I would love to help you. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And let's set up some time to chat, and we'll just get really clear on where you are now, but more importantly, where do you want to be 6 months, 12 months, 24 months down the road? What is that vision for your life? That's what we're truly after, because that is ultimately what is going to motivate you. It's not just about losing the weight. It's what that means. What will that allow you to do? How will that help you? How will that boost your confidence? For me, there were many times when I wanted to lose weight, I got to the point where I was like, no, I need to work on healing my relationship with food. I need to work on not overeating every single day. That's what I really want. And when I did that, it had this ripple effect. I was sleeping better. I was less moody. I felt more comfortable in my body. I didn't feel the need to overexercise every day to try to make up for what I ate the night before. It was so freeing to be able to keep food in the house that I could have peace and feel in control around. And that's what I can help you do too. But we need to have that bigger life vision, because it's not just about the weight loss. It's not just about the body. Having the body you crave isn't going to mean shit if you don't also have a life that lights you up inside. And anything that detracts you from that, we need to work on. It doesn't mean you have to cut it out, but we need to start working on it and addressing it. And if you want some help with that, if you want to create a life that's so amazing, that totally lights you up inside, that really drives you out of bed in the morning, then come chat. I will show you how to do this and how to make it simple, fun, and easy. I promise. All right, y'all. I hope you have a fabulous week. Next month, I've got a new series coming up. It's going to be amazing. We're going to talk more about how do you lose weight for life? Very specifically, what are the key steps? What do you do? What do you not do? Where should you actually spend your time, energy, and resources? So I'll have a whole series around that, and it's going to be awesome. I'm so pumped. And then in May, I've got something a little different coming, but this is going to be good. All right, y'all. Have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.